Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right. Well, I have a very important question. What kind of flowers are best on Mother's Day? Mums. She's back. Lydia's back. We have our jokes. All right. It's spicy is a universal mom code for I do not want to share. Anybody use the it's spicy? All right. We've got a couple honest women in the house. Thank you. Thank you. All right. If I'd known you guys were going to be here, I would have gotten like three more jokes. I was just getting started, but. Well, happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day can be the best time for us. It can also be very challenging. And there's this blessing that I do every year. And this year I was like, I should, you know, make it new. But there's nothing better than it, I think, for a Mother's Day blessing. So I'm just going to read. And if you've been here for a couple years, you've heard the exact same thing. Although I did add a few New Testament women to it this time. Some of us today, like Eve, have children with serious rivalry. Like Naomi, have lost a child. Like Hagar, are mothering alone. Like Hannah, have a child that took years to conceive or are still in that waiting time. Like Mary, have a complicated pregnancy story. Like Joseph and Benjamin, experience the death of their mother. Like Phoebe, Junia, or Priscilla, are mothers in the family of God. And I love this book because it is not only the Word of God, it's also, let's see, how did that pastor put it? It's the oldest book with the author that is still alive today. That's a good way of looking at it, right? But it's also our family photo. So today, if it's a hard day or if it's a good day, it doesn't matter what kind of day it is, you can find a relative of yours in this book, in the family of God, and you can find courage, you can find hope, and you can find peace for the day. Amen? So I encourage you to do that. You are not alone in that. God sees you today, whether you're a mom, a mother figure in someone's life, or a child. Who's a child today? If you're not raising your hand, I don't know where you came from, but I don't think you were born that big, right? All right, so let's do. Who's been a child, right? There we go, all right. If this is your first time here, first off, we just want to welcome you, and I do ask you to raise your hand sometimes. You don't have to. It's just, it's part of what I do to, it's a conversation this morning, all right? So I just want to do a quick overview of the sermon series, or the message series, I prefer to say, from January 1st, because our vision this year is thriving homes transform cities. Remember, thriving homes transform cities. Now, a thriving home isn't a perfect home, right? Thriving means to vigorously grow and mature. It can also mean to prosper, right? So you can kind of look at it as abundant life as well. But growth isn't perfection, right? And in fact, when you're growing, usually you're the least perfect. Some of us are very tall here. And when we were growing, we were knocking things over. It was a whole mess, right? So if you're in a growth phase, I hope you are for the rest of your life. But if you're here at Thrive, a thriving home is a growing home, a developing home. And it might be a little messy, but we're here to thrive so that our city can be transformed by Jesus. Amen. So in January, our theme was thriving homes, and we talked about our lives being a home for God, hosting God's presence. In February, we talked about everyday revival, right? Remember, revival and a thriving home looks like an RV, a revival vehicle. Remember, that was a fun one. And we looked at five ways to consistently live in personal revival. In March, we looked at the Jesus road, the road Jesus invites us on in his joy, in his kingdom, in intimacy with him, and we looked at the journey to the cross. And in April, we looked at the journey from the resurrection forward, and we called that the dash. Remember? Oh, the dash has been erased. Uh-oh. Well, we're all still alive, so it wasn't our dashes, so we're good. But the dash, and we talked about life purpose, living in the middle. How to actually live in the middle. We talk a lot about the beginning and the end, but how do you navigate the middle? We talked about ambassadors. Wasn't Pastor, I don't know where Pastor Caleb just went, but Pastor Caleb's, oh my gosh, you're in another chair. I didn't even know you were here. Pastor Caleb is with his mom. Can we give it up for his mom this morning? Without Pat, there would be no Caleb. And without Caleb, I don't think there'd be a lot of us. So thank you. You don't know the impact you've had in this church. So we talked about ambassadors last Sunday, and that was such a powerful and clear message, Caleb. Thank you. And then we also talked about navigating change, which was very dangerous because I did this whole sermon on change and transition. And then, of course, the Bien and May family is having some change. And I was like, oh, no, now I got to actually live out the sermon I preached, right? Oh, that's always so hard. So God prepares us. But our May series is called The Outpouring. And next weekend is also called The Outpouring. But when you're doing an outpouring weekend, an outpouring by definition cannot fit in one weekend. It's an outpouring, right? So we need a couple weeks to be walking out this outpouring. And it is the month where Pentecost is happening. So next Sunday is Pentecost. Pentecost is one of my very favorite holidays. And we don't celebrate it like Christmas, even though I think we should, because Christmas commemorates Jesus coming to earth, but Pentecost is Holy Spirit with us now on earth, right? It's another Christmas. And so next weekend is just going to be powerful as we just remember that. But just like Christmas can happen every day, I don't know if you remember my Christmas series was, when was your Christmas? When was Christ born in your heart, right? In that manger, in the mess of your life. When did Jesus come in as your Savior? Pentecost can also happen every day, right? The Holy Spirit can come on us and we can walk with him and you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen? So Holy Spirit is God on earth today. So the outpouring. Outpouring by definition means something that is poured out, the act of pouring out, a very large number of things produced at the same time. Outflow, exodus, and gush. If you are a mother, you have experienced many multitudes of outpourings of all shapes and sizes and textures, right? That was supposed to get a laugh this morning, and that is not a good sign, people. Maybe some moms in here are not happy about what I just said, but dads, step up to the outpourings today. I'm just going to put that out there, all right? But this is not the kind of outpouring we're talking about. So about 15 years ago, I was in South Africa, and it was when we actually went to Malawi and met Pastor Brighton, where our sister church is over there. And we had gone to our friend's wedding, and we were in this 15-person, 12-person, it was a big van, all right? And the highway over there, I don't know if anyone's been to South Africa or any country over in that area of the world, you can go like 100 to 150 miles an hour, right? And you're just flying. And there was one point during this trip where I remember the van went airborne, and I am not exaggerating. It was like, boom, right? Anyway, we're all here alive today. So, and I would pray and fast before going back, probably, or at least driving over there. But anyway, it was very fun if you were younger. So we're driving down the road. It's the day after this wedding we went to, and they know how to do weddings in South Africa. I should have gone there to get married. It was a party. And we had all of these champagne bottles left over. And some of you have maybe heard the story, so I apologize if you have, but it's a good one. So anyway, I'm sitting there, and I've got all the champagne bottles wedged between my knees and my legs and my feet, and then on either side as we're sitting and we're like driving down the road. Now, some of these are brand new champagne bottles, but most of them were half drunk with the corks squeezed back on them. Someone just got it. And so we're driving along and we're going about 100 or whatever we're going, and we hit a bump, and suddenly, everyone say suddenly. I like suddenlies when they happen in the Bible, but suddenlies when they happen in my life are a little different. The cork starts popping off, and one goes, and another goes, and they're shooting like bullets, like boom, boom, and they're popping, and then the champagne is bubbling up and pouring out the top, and I'm not saying like two, I'm saying like 10 at the same time. So me, being the intelligent young person I am, didn't want to make a mess in my friend's car. So I started stuffing as many bottles as I possibly could into my mouth so that it wouldn't pour out everywhere. So we're driving down the highway at 100, and I remember the feeling. I was like this with just like, you know, four or five, whatever, and then it's still gushing everywhere. We finally get to a gas station because it was dangerous. You got corks popping off. They're drivers. There's a driver, right? I wasn't driving, thank God. And so we pull off into this gas station. And let me tell you, I don't think there has been a blessing like the blessing we gave that gas station attendant to this day. That guy got 10 bottles of like the most expensive champagne you could possibly get because they were not staying in the car. So we opened up the van, he pumped our gas. We said, here, would you like a gift? And we just unloaded all the champagne to this guy. I was dripping. I smelled like some things. It was a lot. And I may or may not have been slightly underage because it was not, right? I was just supposed to be carrying the bottles, right? I'm an innocent bystander. Please do not leave the church over this. You can talk to me afterwards. But I was trying to be innocent. Everyone say suddenly. Say it one more time. Suddenly. The moral of the story is every outpouring has a, there was a very big suddenly, right? And some of us got the Holy Spirit, and we were just cruising down, you know, our life, just like our daily life. Pastor Tom was in the jail doing ministry. I always like to put that caveat in because sometimes he didn't when I was growing up. But he was in the county jail right down the road, and he was doing ministry, ministering to people there. And Brother White, my Uncle Renee, I don't know if you know Uncle Renee, but he died, unfortunately, a couple months back. But we owe a lot to him because he was there ministering with my dad, and he said, I think someone's supposed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he was like, no, there's still one more person. And sure enough, my dad was the one, even though he was there to minister, right? And so he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. My story is a little different. I actually remember moving in the Holy Spirit when I was really, really little. And I don't actually have a memory of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, even though I heard that I was prayed for when I was very, very small, and I don't have a memory of that. Pastor Brian was baptized in the Holy Spirit in his youth time. I think that's part of the reason he has such a passion for the teenagers of this house. When your testimony happened here when you were a teenager, you've got a legacy that you want to continue. Amen. I know Caleb's and Natalie's journey is different. Pat, we all have a different story with the Holy Spirit, right? We all have a different suddenly. So my question is, have you had your suddenly, and what is your suddenly? Because some of us are just cruising down our life, like I was, right? But God has something better for you. He has an outpouring of his Spirit that he wants to give to you, not just for you, but also even for the gas station attendant, right? There's so much that's enough to share. That's why the Holy Spirit comes on us, right? Not just for us, but for those around us. Amen? And it's a very holy and it's a very powerful moment, and it will change your world and it will change the world around you in your daily interactions. Amen? Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Acts 2, suddenly, right? A thriving home that will transform a city is a home filled with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If you and I can make our homes thrive on our own, then our city would already be transformed, right? We wouldn't even need to talk about it. If you and I could do it, we would have already done it. But sometimes some of us just need to admit, you know what? I can't make myself thrive. I can't make my marriage thrive. I can't make my family, or I can't make my habits, whatever life season you're in, you can't make it thrive. Only Holy Spirit in you can actually cause a thriving to happen, a growth, a prosperity of your soul. Amen? Are you following? But you will receive power. Just say power with me. Remember that song? Power,
power,
power, wonderworking power. Yes. I'm going to just squirrel it here for just a second. Someone accused me of having ADHD when I preached a couple weeks ago. Not here. I don't know if it's true. But anyway, I was looking at some videos online this week, and there was a video of a song that we used to do at this church about 20 years ago. And there were these people, and they were dressed in like the leotard legging type thing from like the 90s, and they were doing the dance. And I felt so seen and embarrassed because we used to do the song here, and I was like, is that what we looked like when we were worshiping? Oh my gosh, Jesus, thank you for the offering, right? He has accepted our offering of worship. Anyway, there's power. Just say power. We're looping back to the power. All right. So you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's Acts 1:8, and that's Jesus speaking. That word power means miraculous power, might, strength, and ability. That word ability, you will receive ability. Does anyone ever feel like you've lost your ability? You've lost your strength. You've lost your power, right? That's very easy to do. And there's a lot of burnout talked about. I've looked at the statistics. But Holy Spirit gives us ability beyond our physical ability. And it's so important that we look at that. And that is what we're talking about today. Our key verse for the month is, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Now, this is a quote from the Old Testament, but I quoted it from Acts 2:17. So far, I've just been talking about Acts. So you look in Acts 1 and 2 this week, you'll hit what I'm talking about so far. But I also wanted to just clarify something in case any of the older women feel left out from that verse. I, of course, looked it up, and old men is also translated as older ones, all right? So your young men will see visions, your older ones will dream dreams. So whether you're an older or a younger lady, that also includes you. I think some of the translators were just too scared to write old woman in the Bible. So it came out as old men, but it can apply to both. But I think it's really important that this scripture is actually owned by the church, because how often do we romanticize or glorify one generation or one decade of someone who's alive in our church, and we completely ignore all the other generations? And at Thrive, I just refuse to do that. It might look different, but we want to honor all the generations, because it says that God will pour out his spirit on the young and the old, on men and women. Amen. And this is so important, because we can discount ourselves from the outpouring of God because we think our time has come or not come yet, or we think we're qualified or disqualified. But Holy Spirit wants to pour his spirit out on you. Amen. So there's getting saved. There's water baptism, like Pastor Caleb said. If you don't know what water baptism represents, I encourage you to talk to Pastor Caleb. If you have been saved, but you have not been baptized, it is one of the most exciting, in fact, it is the most exciting thing that you can do physically after getting saved, because it represents your new life, saying goodbye to your past and your new life in Jesus. And we've got a really cool horse trough now that we can do it in. That's just awesome. So that'll be exciting. But then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? How many need to be bearing some fruit in the Holy Spirit these days? The world is desperate for fruit, for fresh fruit. When we were in the Dominican with Pedro and Alyssa last year, I got to eat a fresh mango from the tree. And let me tell you, it is very different than eating one here. They should probably be called two different things, right? And it was so different to just eat something that was fresh. You go to Florida or something, you eat a fresh orange. I've like almost literally cried. I know that's ridiculous, but New Yorkers were just desperate for fruit, right? The world is desperate for fresh fruit. And there's no one else that's producing it other than the Holy Spirit. Just think about that. There's nobody else. We are the fruit producers on earth, all right? So it's very important. Holy Spirit increases your ability, your capacity. So we're going to talk about capacity this morning. I somehow have 5 minutes left, and I don't know how that happened, because I am getting to my first point. But we're just going to cruise, okay? We're just going to get on the car. We're going to keep driving. So number one, you were created with a God-sized capacity. I want to talk to anyone this morning who feels like they have run out of their capacity or miscalculated it and are feeling run down, drained, or stuck. I don't know if, at least for me, capacity has become a buzzword. As it, like, you know, like, I'm just out of capacity, right? I'm not going to be able to come. My capacity is full, right? I'm not mocking that, because I've said that myself. But we must understand, as humans, we have a capacity. And if you deny that, you will have a physical problem, among other issues, right? But as born-again believers, we have a God-sized capacity as well. And if the church only talks about our human capacity, then the church will be exhausted, confused, and weak. And Jesus didn't die for the church to be any of those descriptions, right? He said he'll be strong in our weakness, right? And so we have to talk about our God capacity as much as our human capacity. Are you following? Whenever you are to emphasize your human capacity, also emphasize your God capacity. I am not talking about being a workaholic here. Jesus was not a workaholic, right? The lifestyle of Jesus modeled a lifestyle of rest, of ministry, of breaking boxes, right? He was healing on the Sabbath. He was doing all sorts of things, but he also understood his human capacity and his God-given capacity. And it's really important on Mother's Day that we think about that. The tallest couple ever, according to Guinness World Records, had a combined height of 15 feet and 8 inches. Brian and I were trying to break this record, but we just came under a couple feet, just a couple though, right? But that couple had a child that was 28 inches long and 22 pounds at birth. And another woman had a baby that was 16 pounds. We are talking capacity this morning. Capacity. It's a good day to talk about capacity. If you are a woman and you have had a child, you know you have a human capacity and then you have a motherhood capacity. And you don't know what your motherhood capacity is until you're walking in that if you get pregnant, right? And just like that, we have our human capacity. And then when we get born again, you don't know what your God-given capacity is until you are born again. And Holy Spirit comes on you. And then you realize, oh, I've got a capacity I didn't know I had. It's a supernatural capacity. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:5, there is nothing in us that allows us to claim that we are capable of doing this work. The capacity we have comes from God. The capacity we have comes from God. Pentecost shows us that there is a Holy Spirit capacity. The Holy Spirit comes on us and increases our ability, our power, our strength, and our capacity and transforms what pours out. The word capacity means the maximum amount that something can contain. Just like those champagne bottles, I didn't know, but they'd hit their capacity in their, what is it, the off gas? Or I don't even know what it is, but it hit and boom, right? It hit capacity. When Jesus called the disciples to fish on the other side, their nets were overflowing, but they didn't break. Remember that the second time, right? Jesus increased their Jesus's death and resurrection. God demolished death's limitation and increased life's for eternity. Talk about limitless capacity, right? Death can't even contain and cap us. There is no cork on your life. The cork has been popped, right? For eternity. Some of us have discounted ourselves from a miracle of God in our life because we feel it's our own fault that we have run out of energy. Have you ever felt that? You're like, you know what, God? I did this to myself. I ran myself down, right? Some of us are here this morning thinking that. Some of us have discounted ourselves from having an outpouring of God because we didn't know how close he was to us, how close Jesus is to us right now. And we're like, you know what? I'm just going to discount that miracle. And Jesus is right here. Why am I saying this? Because the first miracle that Jesus did was because someone miscalculated their capacity. That was the first miracle. I would have thought the first miracle, what do they call it? It's a first impression and you never get it back, right? It's like within 15 seconds of someone coming to church, they can decide if they like you or hate you or whatever. I've read that and I'm like, ah, right? Like, I'm trying to smile, right? So Jesus' first impression of a miracle was because someone messed up the capacity. In fact, they didn't just mess it up, they overdrank. Right? That's not good. They overdrank. They miscalculated the capacity. They did it to themselves. They can't point any finger elsewhere, right? They should have had enough wine for that wedding if they calculated it right, spaced it out properly. Someone jumped over a couple hoops and messed up the capacity. And that's where Jesus said, you know what? Right there. But how many know Jesus actually didn't say right there? Who said it? His mom, right? It's Mother's Day. So moms, your prayers have the power to release first miracles in your kids' lives. Don't stop praying. Come on. Even if it's your kids' fault that they're in the mess they're in right now, wherever they are in the world, you keep praying. Because they can have a first miracle today. Come on, it's up to Jesus. Don't give up on him. Amen? You keep praying. First miracles can happen today. And we just release that over every child that is represented in this house. No matter where they are, we just pray a first miracle. Jesus, have your way in their life. Even if they got themselves there in Jesus' name. Amen. So they ran out of wine at this wedding. And culturally, this is an embarrassing social disaster that could be the source of put-down jokes for years, because wine represented a lot in Israel. But it wasn't just a party, and it wasn't just a drink, and it wasn't just like the social thing that we do now or don't do now, depending on our life choices, right? Wine meant more than that. It meant, in biblical times, covenant. It represented covenant. It represented blessing. It represented abundance and joy, and was even a symbol of their country and of religion, right? So when they ran out of wine, you could say they miscalculated the capacity, and they were desperate for relationship. They were desperate for joy. They were desperate for belonging and abundance. Have you ever miscalculated your capacity on life and then ended up desperate because you ran out of your joy? You ran out of the abundance that you thought was from God, but you just were spending it, right, instead of investing it or whatever, or stewarding it. Amen? You following? So nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing. I'm in John 2, if you're wondering where I am, and I'm just staying there, so it's the beginning of John. Ceremonial washing was crucial to Judaism, and the primary purpose of these washing rituals was to become clean or holy, right? So this is really interesting that he actually used ceremonial washing jugs or vessels for this miracle. Symbolically, Jesus' first miracle foreshadowed how he would transform the rituals of the law into new covenant grace through the cross. Isn't that powerful? Every little piece of this first miracle matters. It all counts towards the miracle that Jesus did. It says, Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. And so they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, although the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. So Jesus' first miracle shows us what happens when we miscalculate our human capacity and God transforms it into a God-sized capacity, and it's actually better than it was before. What was I just saying about generations? Some of us are here today and we're like, well, all the good wine's been spent in my life. I've run out. I've run out of time. I've run out of energy. I've run out of resources. And God is saying, no, I'm transforming what you give me into the best, not just for you, though, but for those around you. Amen? His spirit transforms a vessel that has been spent into an outpouring that can bless an entire party of people. You have something that will bless others. And that's what the Bible study, I really encourage you to take a hard copy or look at the back, because that word boom, it sounds really weird, but the first word is blessing. Blessing. How to be a blessing, right? Holy Spirit comes on us to be a blessing. But how many know that if you think that the outpouring that's happening is bad, then you don't want anything of it, right? I mean, we had an outpouring in our backyard a couple months back of, remember when no one could use the bathroom on a Sunday? It was a disaster. There was an outpouring, right? No one was running there being like, oh, the outpouring. No one wanted it, right? And so when we talk about outpouring, it's really important that we don't just say, oh, the outpouring, and we pretend everybody knows that it's good. Some of us have heard the word Pentecost or Holy Spirit, and not because of Holy Spirit or God, but because of a person misrepresenting what that actually means, have been hurt or confused. And we're going to unpack that a little bit over the next few weeks. So if that's you, I just want you to know I see you. If you think God is up there with a hammer and he's pouring out judgment, anger, and wrath on you since you don't keep a perfect life, you're not going to want to participate in what God's pouring out. Just like Bill Vanderbush said, some of us have a foot in the old covenant and a foot in the new covenant, and we're kind of doing this dance. The new covenant has been around longer than the old covenant. Let's walk in what Jesus died to give us, right? It's a good outpouring. It's a good outpouring. Amen? So why don't you just stand on your feet as I close out? Today was a simple message, but it's really important, because if we're glorifying our human capacity, then we better be glorifying our God-given capacity. I'm not saying reject your humanity. Even Jesus came fully man and fully God. But he knew there was a supernatural depth that he had access to from the Father. He knew whose he was, so he knew who he was. And when you know whose you are, you know the capacity that is your inheritance. Not because you earned it, but because you can receive it through Jesus. I just want to read out, man, this is the longest list I've ever typed. I'm so sorry. It's going to be a minute, but it's going to be good, all right? I'm going to bless you with who Holy Spirit is according to the scripture. Because so often we get our theology of Holy Spirit, and I don't know what's going on there, but Holy Spirit is God on earth inside of us and on us, right? And I'm just going to read out some descriptors of who Holy Spirit is. And I want to invite you, if one of these is who you need God to be to you today, just to open up your hands. It's just a sign of surrender. Like if I was going to throw something for you to catch, you'd have to open up your hands to catch it. So it's just a sign of surrender, just to open up and to receive what God is pouring out. Because some of us need to redefine what God is pouring out. Amen? Holy Spirit is not a force like Star Wars. He is an equal part of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. He's not an it. Right? He's not weird or scary. Holy Spirit is our comforter. Holy Spirit is our advocate. Holy Spirit is our intercessor. Holy Spirit is our counselor. Holy Spirit is our strengthener. Holy Spirit is our helper. Holy Spirit, you are an encourager. Holy Spirit, you are our consoler. Holy Spirit, you are omnipresent. You are sovereign. Holy Spirit, you help us recognize God's glory. You enable us to call on Jesus as our Lord. Holy Spirit, you are searching. Holy Spirit, you can be grieved. Holy Spirit, you love. Holy Spirit, you guide us into truth. Holy Spirit, you have a mind. You have intelligence. Holy Spirit, you can be tested and you can be resisted. Holy Spirit, you have a will. Holy Spirit, you transform us daily. Holy Spirit, you help us understand the Bible. Holy Spirit, you call us into specific work in your kingdom on earth. Holy Spirit, you empower us to serve one another. Holy Spirit, you help us to pray. Holy Spirit, you build up your church. Holy Spirit, you give spiritual giftings for the common good of the church community. Jesus, right now, we thank you that some of us today feel like the empty jars at the first miracle. God, we've been spent. And maybe for some of us, we feel like it was our own fault. Maybe for others, maybe it was someone else's and we need to forgive. But God, we thank you that you pour out your living water and you fill us up to the brim. And then you transform what pours out of our lives so that we can live in the outpouring of the Spirit, but we can be an outpouring to those around us. It says in John 4, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That word living water means to leap up, to spring up, to bubble up, just like the corks flew off in the car. God, I thank you. There is a bubbling up. There is a stirring up. There's a springing up of your Holy Spirit in us as a church at Thrive this morning. This is a new chapter as a church, God, that there would be a bubbling up. It says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly, more, greater, excessive, exceedingly, vehemently. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the suddenlies that you are releasing in our lives. God, for those of us who have been baptized in your Holy Spirit, I thank you that there is a deeper depth and there is a deeper outpouring that is bubbling up even right now, and you're releasing it, and it's going to transform relationships. It's going to transform parenting. It's going to transform habits and mindsets. You're renewing our mind in the spirit, God, of your truth. And I bless every area of your life today where you feel your capacity has been stolen to meet the abundance of God. I bless every area of emptiness in your life to overflow with the power of the Holy Spirit. I bless you with opportunities to share Holy Spirit suddenlies with people around you this week. And I bless your home to thrive in the abundant life that Jesus died to give you. Jesus, let that outpouring be, and let that transformation be in our region, in our day. Pour out your Spirit on all flesh and let it begin with us this morning once again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.